This morning was the long-delayed ordination to the priesthood for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Five young men were ordained priests by Archbishop Lurie at the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen. And among them was Zachary Crowley, who is from St. Mark Parish. He's the first native vocation to the priesthood since St. Mark's became an independent parish in 1968. An ordination is always a moment of great joy for the Archdiocese, and this year it's a moment of great joy for our parish family. We look forward to Father Zach celebrating his first Mass here tomorrow afternoon, which will be broadcast over the internet if you would like to take part. As part of the rite of ordination, the newly ordained priest is vested in the stole and the chasuble, which are the vestments proper to the priest at Mass. The stole that he wore as a deacon, which crossed over his chest, is then straightened so that it hangs down over his legs, the placement of the stole for a priest or a bishop. The stole is symbolic of the authority conveyed upon a deacon or priest or bishop, and that's why we wear one at every sacramental celebration. You can sometimes see the stole and our Mass vestments kind of sometimes pokes out the back here or down by our legs. The priest's stole is then covered by the outer garment, the chasuble, which is always the color of the season or the feast day. And the chasuble signifies us putting on the yoke of Christ. And so it is a sign of the humility and the charity of Jesus, which we are to convey to the world. That's why the chasuble always covers over the stole. Our authority is always exercised in the spirit of humility and charity. The authority which the newly ordained priest, and all priests for that matter, exercise, comes from somewhere. Just like all authority, it's delegated from someone else. In this case, the priest receives his authority from the bishop, who in turn received his from the Pope, who in turn receives his authority from Jesus himself. The authority which is given to St. Peter and his successors is what today's gospel reading is all about. Our passage starts with Jesus asking the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Basically, he's asking them, "What's the word on the street? What are people saying? What are you hearing?" And so they repeat what everyone else has told them. He's a prophet, John the Baptist, Elijah. And then Jesus gets more specific. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" He flips the question on its head. Now the response has to be a personal one. We can't repeat what everyone else is saying. We have to respond for ourselves. And it's Simon who answers. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." By calling Jesus the Christ, Simon is confessing that Jesus is everything. He's the Messiah, the one they've been looking and longing and waiting for. He's the one who will give their lives meaning and purpose. Simon's answer is a profession of faith. And in response to this profession of faith, Jesus changes Simon's name to Peter, which means the rock. In the days of Jesus, Peter was not a common name like it is today. The word Petra simply meant rock. So for Jesus to change his Simon's name to the rock would have caught people's attention because it was not a usual name. So Jesus gives him this new name as a symbol of his new role, his new duty. That it's on the confession of Peter's faith in Jesus that the church will be built. And it's then that Jesus gives Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven as head of his church. Those keys bind and loose in heaven and on earth. And it's the authority of those keys that's passed down to Peter's successors, the popes. And then it is apportioned to bishops and priests and deacons in their respective ministries. Jesus is giving his authority to his steward, just as Isaiah spoke about in the first reading today, the authority that is given to Eliakim, who we are told will hold the key of the house of David. Eliakim was the steward of the king's palace. He literally held the key to the building, to the palace of the king. In this case, in Peter's case, and that of his successors, it's not just any palace, it's heaven itself. This week has been a special week of events in our archdiocese. If you hadn't heard, on Tuesday of this week, we had the ordination of our new auxiliary bishop, Bishop Bruce Lewandowski. An auxiliary bishop is one who helps the archbishop in his governance of the diocese. And at the end of the bishop's ordination, the new bishop always gives remarks. It's like a sort of a mini homily in which he reflects on the ritual that has just transpired. And Bishop Lewandowski began his remarks by saying that he was wearing old clothes. And this caught my attention. I thought, well, did he buy this stuff at like some kind of bishop's yard sale or something? What do you mean? And he said that his clothes were not old in years, but in centuries. He reflected that through the centuries, saints have worn the clothes of a bishop. And scoundrels have worn the same clothes. The vestments which the bishop wears, the ring, the mitre on his head, the pectoral cross on his chest, are given power by the one who wears them, by the personal relationship that he has with Jesus. And they can become a bridge to faith in the hands of those who wear them, or they can become an obstacle. The authority that is delegated is useless unless it is exercised with the mind of Jesus himself. Unfortunately, we're all too aware of those priests and bishops who have misused the authority that has been given to them. How their own relationship with Jesus was so weak that they abused their authority and then destroyed or seriously damaged the faith and the lives of others. The authority that is given over to Peter, given over to bishops, given over to all clergy, is meant to lead others to an experience of what St. Paul said in the second reading today, how he cried out, "Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God." It exists to facilitate a relationship between the believer and Jesus, to help them to fall in love with that awe-inspiring love of God that St. Paul was caught up in today, to help the faithful answer the question of Jesus, "Who do you say that I am?" My friends, that's the ultimate question. When we stand before Jesus one day at his judgment seat, he's not going to quiz us on our catechism. He's not going to tally our debits and credits like some sort of divine bookkeeper. As baptized Christians, we bear the image of Jesus within us, and so we bear the authority to carry his name into the world. So he is going to ask what he has meant to our lives and how we have shared that with others. Who do you say that I am? Now is the time to consider how we will answer that question.